case you missed it.
Dari studio VOA di Washington DC, Aryono Arifin di sini. And in case you missed it, pembahasan seputar dunia penerbangan belum lama ini hangat dibicarakan di mana-mana. Sebagian besar diakibatkan oleh banyaknya kecelakaan pesawat terbang yang terjadi akhir-akhir ini. Pada kesempatan kali ini, saya akan ngobrol bersama Muhammad Akmal Rizki, seorang diaspora Indonesia yang tinggal di negara bagian Texas dan memiliki keahlian sebagai teknisi pesawat terbang. Bahkan Rizki ini pernah berkarir sebagai Aircraft Maintenance Engineer, salah satu maskapai penerbangan terbesar di Amerika. Dan kini Rizki memiliki usaha yang juga sejalan dengan kecintaannya terhadap dunia kedirgantaraan, sekaligus turut menyumbang dalam usaha untuk memajukan tenaga kerja Indonesia dalam bidang penerbangan. Selamat pagi, Rizki.
Selamat pagi, Ari.
Jadi Rizki itu bidang karirnya selalu berada di bidang aircraft maintenance, ya?
That's correct, yeah. Within the technical ops.
Technical operations, okay.
Operations, that's right.
Dan memang latar belakang Rizki sebagai aircraft engineer, ya?
Yeah.
Nah, di maskapai penerbangan tersebut, Rizki kalau misalnya merawat sebuah pesawat dalam kegiatan sehari-hari itu biasanya ngapain aja?
Karena sih sebenarnya role-nya saya itu agak step back sedikit sebenarnya. Tapi apa saat itu yang dulunya ya, 6 tahun yang lalu ya, kegiatannya biasanya engineering yang involved in avionics. Avionics itu aircraft electronics, yeah, that includes, you know, all the wiring system, all the computer system, semua computer system yang mengontrol autopilot, autothrottle, and navigation system, software loading, even all the way down to the entertainment aspect of, the media that you see on the screen there on, when you're sitting in the passenger seat. So I'm very involved in all that aspect, which is known as avionics.
Ini kalau nggak salah dulu in one of flight magazines yang beredar di Indonesia, kalau nggak salah Rizki sempat disebut sebagai seorang dokter syaraf ya dari pesawat ya. Karena memang ini mungkin rupanya kerjaannya ya.
Ya memang kerjaannya scope-nya kayak seperti begitu ya. Tapi the person who dubbed me as Dr. Sharaf is actually the author of the article. So, which I think it could be befitting to what I do. Ya karena itu ya syarafnya pesawat itu memang ya wiring system-nya dan computer system-nya. Istilahnya kayak otaknya lah gitu.
Bisa ceritain sedikit nggak seputar bagaimana kecintaan terhadap dunia penerbangan ini diawali? So how did it all started?
So, it actually goes all the way back when, you know, I was born in Indonesia, you know, came to the United States when I was about 7 or 8 years old. But, you know, during the time when I was in Indonesia, you know, my parents always referred me to, you know, because I had a big forehead, you know, when I was a baby and, you know, in my youth. So my mom referred me to Pak Habibie, right? And that kind of just stuck in my mind. And I remember that, you know, Pak Habibie was, you know, I had a huge BB eyes just like Ms. Habibie did. And, you know, that notion always was stuck in my mind. You know, Pak Habibie was a genius in Indonesia, especially in the world of aviation. So growing up in New York, you know, I was never in any trouble. You know, I was always hitting the books and, you know, always kind of stayed in my lane, you know, a little trouble left here and there, but we weren't too far from a school called Aviation High School in New York. You know, I used to hear stories about, oh yeah, sure, I mean, if you work for the airlines, you know, you go to the school, you know, you just take the aviation path. So that actually took me back when, you know, my parents used to say, you know, oh man, this is my little genius, you know, you look like Pak Habibie, you know, so Pak Habibie was kind of like my hero.
Oh, okay. It's like an inspiring figure in your life, yeah?
Because I had to look into his biography more so now. So, you know, who he's all about. That he was a, you know, pioneer in the aviation world in Indonesia. So,
did you ever thought that he was going to be president back then?
No, not at all. Not at all. I didn't know. You know, I just knew that he was a pioneer in aviation. So, you know, having that in mind, you know, I always wanted to keep my parents happy and proud of me and everything. So I ended up going to aviation high school.
I see.
Trade school, yeah.
That's pretty much how your love of aviation started, by an inspiring figure, yaitu Pak B.J. Habibie almarhum.
Yeah.
Tokoh yang merupakan tokoh inspiratif dalam hidup.
Betul. Jadi orang tua saya selalu mengatakan bahwa, oh ini anak saya ini basket Pak Habibie. Gitu. And that notion kind of was stuck to my mind, right? And So, you know, when I went to the States, you know, growing up and, you know, just growing the love of aviation because my house was near the LaGuardia Airport and as well as...
Oh, wow, okay.
So, and I had to, you know, dig up Habibie's biography, you know, to know what he's about, you know, that he's right. a pioneer in aviation in Indonesia. So my love of aviation ties in with, you know, going back to Indonesia and try to get involved somehow, you know, in terms of either safety or, you know, whatever it is in Indonesia, right, to develop aviation. So that notion was always on my mind.
I see.
Yes, Habibie plays a big role. Habibie Almarhum plays a big role in that, as well as my parents also.
Dan akhirnya setelah itu Rizky melanjutkan untuk mengenyam pendidikan dalam dunia kedirgantaraan ini, dunia pesawat terbang, dunia teknik.
Betul, teknis aviasi, yes.
Di negara mana? Di negara bagian mana?
Ini di New York City, Queens, New York.
Wow.
Queens, New York, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dan sekarang dari New York City sampai ke tempat tinggalnya Rizky sekarang di Houston, ya, di Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas. Betul. So, yeah, I met my wife in New York City. So from there, you know, I learned that my wife was also very entrepreneurial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't know exactly which path to take in the entrepreneurial sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we just didn't know what path to take. And at the same time, I was already, you know, very heavily involved in aviation. Like mm-hmm. I said, I was, I attended aviation high school, graduated mm-hmm. Aviation high school, went to College of Aeronautics and continued that path and got my bachelor's degree in aviation sciences. So we would take my skills and take that really to the next level.
Jadi mulai dari bekerja untuk maskapai penerbangan pesawat terbesar di Amerika, sekarang juga bisa dibilang punya bisnis yang bersentuhan juga dengan dunia penerbangan, ya?
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
I see.
Yeah, begitulah. Jadi pas saat itu ya tahun 2005, saya punya partner yang sudah lebih senior dari saya, lebih berpengalaman gitu ya.
Mm-hmm.
Dia punya ide untuk membentuk flight data recorder analysis. Jadi, waktu itu ya udah kita langsung terjun di dunia bisnis itu.
Mm-hmm.
Kita mulai research, you know, market research and human resources research. So my heart was always set in going back to Indonesia and make sure we'll make the best use of Indonesia and actually uplift some of the aviation professionals in Indonesia, engineers. So we ended up going to ITEBE, recruited a couple of engineers from ITEBE. We flew them down to New York, trained
Whoa.
Them. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Exciting. Using the Indonesian minds, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were able to launch a business that is sustainable and that actually provides a win-win situation for both countries, you know, thereby enabling some of the sources that we have in Indonesia, which Indonesia, in my opinion, have some of the smartest students. You know, the engineers in Indonesia are, in my opinion, are world class. I mean, I think Bapak Habibie is a prime example of that.
Wow.
Bapak Habibie Almarhum. So, you know, in Indonesia, there's no, nggak ada istilahnya yang Indonesia itu left behind, yeah, in terms of technology, in terms of...
Yeah, we're quite progressive, yeah.
It is quite progressive. So we were, kita sangat senang sekali untuk bisa ikut orang Indonesia yang bisa mengikut dan follow through dan develop flight data recorder analysis itu.
Jadi mulai dari kecintaan terhadap dunia pesawat terbang, Rizky sendiri punya bisnis yang mengambil tenaga kerja dari Indonesia dan membimbing untuk mereka agar bisa maju dan bisa bisa berkarya juga dalam dunia penerbangan.
Betul sekali. Dan memang misinya kita mau develop ya orang-orang ini, ya, tenaga yang punya berbakat, yang punya bakat ini, kepintaran ini, ya, di dunia aviasi, dan kita akan melepas dia. Jadi terserah kalau mau melanjutin untuk buka usaha sendiri, silakan dengan ilmu yang baru ini. Jadi kita sangat open sekali. Akhirnya ya mereka sekarang masih lanjutin itu data recorder analysis di Indonesia-nya sendiri, dan mereka juga klien-kliennya di Indonesia gitu. Jadi saya sangat senang sekali gitu untuk membawa mereka ke sini dan balikin mereka with more knowledge, more skill.
Wow, that is inspiring.
Yeah, so it's like you know, passing it forward. Sort of
and it comes full circle di saat kita melihat semua tenaga kerja yang kita bina sendiri itu akhirnya juga jadi maju, ya, dan bisa menghasilkan sesuatu. Kita bangga dong, gitu kan?
Oh, betul sekali. Iya, bangga sekali. Nah, dari saat itu dia, dan hati saya itu selalu untuk balik ke Indonesia. Sampai sekarang ini kita sekarang alhamdulillah punya program BBM satu harga yang kita bisa. We're able to deliver fuel in some of the remotest and harshest place to fly in Indonesia, in fact, in the world. So we were able to do that till this day. So we are providing fuel to some of the remotest part of Indonesia, in Papua, as well as in Kalimantan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, using our proprietary aircraft.
So basically, you could say that since you maintain aircraft, then Rizky bisa dibilang mengetahui segala seluk-beluk pesawat terbang, mulai dari yang bagian syarafnya, bagian keamanannya semua. Ini kalau ini ada orang yang ingin masuk pesawat terbang, terus mau terbang, tapi mereka mungkin nggak biasa terbang dan ada perasaan sedikit khawatir, apa sedikit takut gitu loh. Apa yang Rizky bisa share sama mereka untuk bisa menghilangkan rasa takut itu? Karena memang kan akhir-akhir ini kan banyak sekali yang kecelakaan, yang jatuh, bahkan kemarin Kobe Bryant aja sedikit, helikopternya jatuh, terus ya ini deh pokoknya bisa bikin orang yang lihat tuh jadi nggak tenang gitu loh. Apa yang Rizky bisa share dengan dengan kita semua?
Jadi kejadian Kobe itu is very unfortunate. I think there's a certain aspect. Well, just for your audience to know, I mean, in the aircraft there are so many redundant systems, right? I mean, there's a backup system to a backup system. In terms of flying, air travel is the most safest mode of transportation known date, and I think it will be because of regulators are actually overemphasizing, which is what's necessary for air travel. You know, when an aircraft breaks down, you can't really pull over and repair it. So the overcompensation of the redundant system, I think, really makes it that much safer. And just for the average passenger to know, you know, just to give you an idea, I mean, the backup system to a backup system, and that backup system, even the backup system, rarely fails, and it is even caught before it fails because of some of the technology that have been implemented into the aircraft, you know, with satellite communication and ACARS and, you know, aircraft reporting automatically to self-diagnose, you know, before any events of breaking down would ever occur.
Now,
so and the story with Kobe Bryant, I mean, that's just, you know, bad weather with unequipped technology, which is called the terrain system on the helicopter, terrain avoidance system.
I see. Okay.
Which is unfortunate. We call that the Swiss cheese effect, right? When the holes are aligned, right? Certain, you know, you have your weather, or you know, the improper equipment is used for that certain weather. So all these Swiss cheese holes have aligned, and that's when, you know, accidents occur. But that's very, very rare.
Jadi memang statistically speaking, air travel itu memang masih merupakan suatu metode transportasi yang paling aman ya memang ya. Jadi kebetulan aja kalau misalnya lalu lintas, kecelakaan lalu lintas, mungkin nggak semua tabrakan mobil apa kecelakaan itu selalu disorot, tapi sekalinya ada pesawat jatuh atau ada
big news,
itu langsung pasti langsung jadi berita. Mungkin ini yang kali bisa membuat semua orang menjadi paranoid gitu kan.
Oh yeah, itu faktor besar sekali untuk media. You know, there's just so many technologies that's involved in today's airplane that I think, you know, people shouldn't worry about anything failing in the aircraft, really. I mean, statistically speaking. So, but in terms of, you know, if you want to ride comfortably, of course, you know, there's different areas in the airplane that I could, you know, mention where you can sit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's not saying, you know, you have to sit in first class. There are certain areas in the airplane, the you know, towards the front of the economy cabin, mm-hmm, are actually pretty comfortable versus the rear. So if you want to talk about being comfortable, you know, setting your fears aside, you know, ride comfortably, you could, you know, choose the seats anywhere in front of the engine. Really,
it's
the most comfortable.
I see. Okay.
Just a little tip. Yeah.
Comfortable apa aman?
kalau mau bicarakan tentang aman ya, sebenarnya the entire aircraft is pretty much fine. I mean,
okay,
you just sit pretty much anywhere in the cabin.
Aduh, terima kasih banyak loh untuk obrolannya. Ini selain kita belajar banyak, juga kita juga bisa mengetahui juga betapa passionate-nya Rizky dalam empowering Indonesians dari Indonesia dibawa ke sini, ditambah knowledge-nya juga kemudian menyebarkannya kembali di Indonesia untuk kemudian membangun masa depan mereka, dan akhirnya sih in terms membangun Indonesia juga gitu kan?
Iya. Yeah. Itu yang justru yang sangat mereward saya itu sebenarnya untuk melihat progresif dan perkembangan aviasi industri di Indonesia itu sebenarnya, that's the most rewarding thing for me.
This has been a wonderful In Case You Missed It segment. Terima kasih banget Rizky untuk obrolannya. Mudah-mudahan di kemudian hari kita bisa ngobrol lagi about a whole lot of other things. Thank you so much for your time.
Terima kasih banyak, Ari.
In Case You Missed It. We'll be right back.